You're listening to Big Wigs. The bigger the wig,
the bigger the personality. Ooh, stunning.
Hey, Tom.
Miranda? Oh, I thought I saw Miranda.
Look at that, babe. It's Big Wigs.
You're doing amazing, sweetie.
Look at big ribs and big wigs.
Welcome back to the pod. It's our 25th birthday. Hey. I can't believe it. 25 episodes. Dre, we're doing it.
25. You know what? Every five, we just do a big announcement. We're like, it's the 10th. It's the 15th. Because every five is a milestone. So 25.
25 feels like young and hot, though. It feels like a quarter of a century. You know, it's like we're on our way.
What were you doing at 25?
Oh, God. What was I doing at 25? You know what? I honestly feel like not that much. I had a day job. I was an assistant. Yep. Well, what's funny is you know how I used to work in restaurants? Like,
yes.
I worked in fine dining for many years. A lot of people don't know that about me, but that's why I'm such an obnoxious foodie, is because I worked in the industry. Okay.
You're allowed to be obnoxious foodie now. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, there comes a point when you leave the food service industry, and people who work in the industry, you will understand this. Like, when you leave, you're like, you feel bad eating out at restaurants because you're like, you know everything that's going on, and you're like, I know exactly what's wrong. The server's having a bad day, and they're too busy, and they have too many tables, blah, blah, blah. And then there comes a shift just like a couple years after that where you're like, I have absolutely no tolerance for you guys fucking this up for me. I could do your jobs better than you. My ego like went for like, I was like, I'm so sorry. I know you're so busy, but like, can we have like another, you know, can we have some more water? To like, I can't believe they can't pour a fucking water. They can't tell that our table's out of water. Like,
we're not asking for much.
Like, I became a monster. What was I saying? I was like, where was I?
Were you working 25?
No. So that was the year I said out loud, and I wrote it down, I will not work in a restaurant after 25. And I know I'm only 26, but I did it. And 2 weeks before, 2 weeks before my 26th birthday, which we're obviously still celebrating, I was straight up, I quit. And I got a day job because I was working nights because it was a steakhouse. It was like, you know, that's where you made the money. We didn't do lunch.
Course.
And then I was doing stand up and like comedy. So I was like having to take off work to do shows that paid me like fucking drink tickets or, you know, $20.
It wasn't working out. Yeah.
So I got a day job. That's where I was at 25, really transitioning my life from working in a restaurant to working as an assistant, you know, all the glamorous things.
That's what happens. I think that's what people say. Life really does start to get juicy and nice in your 30s. Cause you did all the low level jobs that you had to do. You put the work in, cause that's what it is. But then there is that nice quality about the young 20s where you're like scrappy. And you're just down to clown because you got no money anyways. You're like, what do I have to lose? Let's go out.
I was also in a very serious relationship at 25. It wasn't until 27 when I became the 40-year-old virgin and I was like reborn into this like slut version of myself where I was like, wait, there are other people out there. Yeah. Wait, where were you when you were 25? Which
it's
is like five minutes ago.
5 minutes. Same to you. You're younger than me. You're 26.
Thank you.
I had moved back to DC and I was working both as a podcast like intern for my girl Sarah Fraser, and then I was also doing the morning news. I was PAing at a news station. So waking up at like 3 a.m, getting there at 4, doing the news. Hated it. But I loved just seeing the world of news because I always thought I was going to be a radio personality. And then, you know, we had to do news on radio. So I was like, oh, I could easily transition. But the early mornings, it just was brutal as a young 20-year-old.
That's hard. That's really hard.
Sure.
Especially when you're like, wait, I'm supposed to go out at night.
Oh, yeah.
You expect me to be here at 4 a.m.
At radio, you could do that. I would just go straight through and then go into work at like 5, kind of tipsy, still a little buzzed. News, you cannot do that because everybody else is completely sober. They've been sleeping. They're grown-ass adults, and then they're relying on you to do the prompter. And I'm already a spaz with anything that I have to be on time for. So I was just on edge, but...
I think I've told you, but like when I would go out, because I'd do comedy shows at night and I'd go out to the bars after, and sometimes I'd be up until the sun came up, and then I had to be at work at 8 a.m. And I was so bad at being on time as my day job. Like so bad. Like I don't know why I thought I could be like, oh, the 6 train again, you know, and they'd be like, we all took the 6 train. We made
it. We know you're lying. Yeah, I know. LA, you can blame it on the traffic. New York, the trains do come. So there's once in a while there's some delays, which I always find happen to me. I'm like, I'm delayed.
I would always. And then you'll love this. I implemented all these like days into my office just to cure my own hangovers. I swear to God. I was like, you guys, we should do like Monday croissant day. And they were like, that is so chic. We love that. And I'd get like catered croissants, every flavor from like the nice, from like St. Ambrose, like the nicest croissants uptown. And then I was like, and you know what would be even cooler? Hello, Bagel Fridays. And they were like, hello. Love it. I just kept spending money and they supported this goal because I was also like the office manager. I was like, what would be more fun than that? I was like, did you hear Uber's doing puppies today? You can order puppies to your office to like play for 20 minutes. And they were like, get them.
That's fantastic. Back when the days of the budgets were not like non-existent, like you put it in the budget.
I know.
Nothing.
Some days
now.
I miss
now
my
you can't
day job.
Do anything.
I got really good at being good at a day job by not doing much. Do you know what I mean? I got really
good at
hiding what the work was and just living my life.
Today, our objective is 2 things, and then you drag out those 2 things for a long time. And you
love it.
That's the job.
I'm still close with some of my old bosses from my day job because I got invited to their lobster fest in the Hamptons this summer. I was like, I haven't been invited to the lobster fest. I did it all 5 years I worked with them. And
that's
and
fancy.
I was like, I know, it's so fancy and so nice. It's like a huge, like big table of lobsters. And I was like, that's so nice of you to invite me. I don't think I'm going to be in town, but I might be. So I'm like still a maybe, but I was like, is that going to be weird? They're all going to be like, oh, you used to work for us. What do you do now? And I'm like, I'm poorer than ever. Got a job for me.
You got any openings over there? No, you should head to the Hamptons. We'll run into Bethany Frankel.
Oh, my girl. Can I tell you something? I've been itching to do a Bethany. I think I want to do a Bethany.
It's got to be done. Somebody's got to do it. I started it and I wasn't proud of it, but you got to keep it going.
She sounds like my family. Do you know what I mean? Like I have my Jewish aunts from Long Island. Like I'm like, I could do a Bethany where she's like, let me straight up tell you about my bagels. Like I could, I got to practice it.
The bagel video is what got me. Cause she went into the bagels. She was like, there's different types of bagels. There's round bagels. There's square bagels. I know everything there is to know about bagels. She's an expert on everything. I think it would be
yesterday.
Fantastic.
Did you see her omelet yesterday? Did you guys see this?
My God.
I shouldn't say
no.
Yesterday, but whatever it was, Tuesday, I guess she's being paid by Tostitos. I fucking love her. She has no shame. Like she's like, sponsored ad. Here you go. Like
I know,
but
no, I appreciate
made an omelet with Tostitos salsa. Now you're going to have feelings about this. Dre likes a good salsa.
I do.
She literally said, here's my jar of Tostitos salsa and made not even just an omelet, an egg white omelet, threw in like a couple slices of American cheese, like straight up like flat American cheese. Not like shredded because I was like, give me like a Mexican shredded cheese. I could maybe
we can
get
work
down
with that.
Yeah. A little avocado in there. No, she straight up like slices of cheese and then dropped in like from the jar. Didn't even spoon it in. Just like glopped in the Tostitos salsa and made an omelet. And I was like, this looks disgusting. I like all of these ingredients, but this looks borderline disgusting. And also, should I recreate this and do a Bethany? That was my reaction to it.
That's obviously the first thought. Was this a sponsored ad? We're sure of it.
It didn't say like hashtag ad, but she's straight up like, I love Tostitos. I love Tostitos salsa. I would marry this. Let me just pour it all over my egg whites.
The reason why she's perfect for brands is because she does that with everything. She's so intense about it. So if she was just to mention Tostitos, which is like totally not even in her wheelhouse, I would think we would believe it. We're like, okay, if I don't see ad on there, I believe that she's actually using Tostitos because she does do recipes. Now she's getting into
beauty, she does a lot of beauty. Yeah,
yeah. She's
we gotta
got
listen
her
to her
YouTube show.
Shout out to she was on Amanda Hirsch's podcast, Not Skinny But Not Fat, and I want to listen to it because the clips look good.
The clips do look good. I was listening to the beginning of it yesterday, and so great. Amanda reached out to her 5 or 6 years ago in the DMs,
yes,
and
I
asked for a job, and Bethany was asking her Just like, would you want to work for me now? And Amanda's like, I mean, I got something going on now. It was a great, it was a great intro. It was a good.
That's so funny.
So far,
and
it's
honestly,
been really good.
It wasn't that long ago. It was like 2017.
It wasn't.
And she's like, I have a bachelor's degree. And I was like,
that goes to show you what can happen in 5 years. Give us 5 years. When you look at the trajectory of somebody's life, I was just talking to Taylor Schrecker. She was married at late 20s, fully married, living with her ex-husband, thinking about children. And what a journey, change, transformation she's been on in the last like 6 to 8 years. But yeah, a lot can happen.
And honestly, she's living her best life. Like,
truly.
Taylor is all over the place, having fun, touring. I'm like, so yeah, it's inspiring. It really is. Yeah, and I think so Bethany also talks about it on the podcast. Her like rags to riches story. Like she was like poor. Like it's going to happen for us guys. For anyone feeling down, this is the slowest month of my life. Like I'm not even lying. Like I'm just trying to get by, but I don't know where I'm getting my money for rent for August. I swear to God.
No. I don't know what. I don't think I really even talk about Mercury in retrograde, but something's going on because this month has been
like
moving
me.
Like a snail. No, I don't even know if it is in retrograde. What planet's in retrograde now? Uranus? Because I'm moving at this pace of a snail. Like everything's just not happening.
I love that you're getting into the planets because you know traditionally
don't
on this podcast.
Start with me.
I'll be like, it's a full moon. We got to charge our stones and manifest tonight. And Dre's like, Anna's fucking bullshit. And I'm like, yeah, sorry. You may have a 5-year plan. I got 5 stars just waiting for me to put my wishes out into the universe.
Like, I'm not fully bought into it, but I will fully have a conversation and talk about Mercury in retrograde.
Yeah.
But it is. It's been a slow month. So catch me up. What's going on? What's the hot goss?
The hot goss. Well, I was going to say it's been a slow month because of the strike. I thought that was a very good transition in our industry.
Excellent.
You guys know the strike is still happening, the WGA strike. Mm-hmm. And SAG-AFTRA was supposed to have their like negotiations, I guess, 2 weeks ago. They postponed it, right? Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be like end of June, and now it's July 12th. And guess what? By midnight today, that's happening today. Today,
that's
all of the execs and the AMTPT. Did I say that right? They're all the studios and the mm-hmm. SAG execs, I guess, or like, you know, chair people are like having the talks today. So this could really shut down Hollywood, you know. You got no actors and no writers.
Yeah.
Everyone else's job is really affected. It's shitty. It's like for good reason, you know what I mean? That's the thing. Mm-hmm. It's like it sucks now. But if everybody holds out and the writers hold out and everything, which they're gonna do, they've been striking for like 75 days, then like obviously they're gonna have to come to some sort of agreement. It's just
totally.
Right now it's like how long? And I don't know if you guys saw this. I wanted to read this. This fucking Deadline article came out yesterday and it scared the bejesus out of me.
That's exactly rude. What I wanted you to read to me because it's so sad and so mean of them. It's almost like that doesn't even seem real.
It doesn't. It doesn't seem real. But basically, here, I'll read it. So the studios and the AMPTP, letters off, believe that by October, most writers will be running out of money after 5 months on the picket lines and no work.
No
shit.
And then
there's a quote. I don't know who said this quote, but apparently some shithead executive said the end game is to allow things to drag on until union members start losing their apartments and losing their homes. A studio executive told.
What?
Deadline. Acknowledging the cold as ice approach, several other sources reiterated the statement. One insider called it a cruel but necessary evil. It's fucked up, you know, because it's like on the one side, all of these people who've created entertainment for years and years and years that everybody consumes, you know, are just, they're not even asking for that much. They're literally asking for a little more. They're mm-hmm. not asking to have the same fucking salary as the CEO of Netflix. No one's asking for that. And then you have these studios that are like, let them bleed out. Let them just bleed out. And like, they'll get over, you know, they'll be like, oh, we need any job, you know.
Yeah.
And it's such
but
a
what the
shitty
fuck are this,
fight.
What are the networks even doing? They're lucky that they even have shows that, I mean, I know they're blown up and they're so rich and worth millions of dollars. But for them to just side along with that and just be like, let's let them just get homeless and then they'll be desperate.
They're owned by the studios. So the studios own the networks. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but like, it's disgusting for them to go along with that.
It's their boss. That's who funds them.
I don't give a fuck. Stands up for yourself.
It's just all like, mess. You know, you can't. Like, a network can't be like, actually, we want to pay our writers more because they don't, they're literally owned by the bigger studios.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's messed up. I would say it's a weird time. Like, in our industry, it's like, can you meet with people? Can you, mm-hmm. you know, pitch stuff? Like, it's a very hazy time.
And it is.
And like, yes, there's commercial stuff. I don't know how if SAG goes on strike, is that going to affect commercial work as well? Probably, you know, like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I imagine there are fights because AI could easily do a fucking car commercial. You know, they could get a voice to do exactly what they want.
She's burping. Choking what to death. Choking. I'm drinking.
Eating that salsa omelet.
It's stuck in my lungs. Yeah, no, that's crazy because commercials could easily be totally manipulated. But what happens if, like, so I guess what I've been working on is unscripted, not reality TV, but more like docu-style reality comedy. Not that I finished anything, but I'm saying, like, is that even allowed? I'm very confused about the lines. The lines are very blurred and I don't really know what's allowed versus what's not. And here's another thought. I'm not even in SAG yet.
Oh, then, I mean, like, it's different. Like, hosting, that's another clause that they need to go over. I host non-union stuff, but I'm in SAG. Yeah. And you're allowed to appear as yourself in projects that are not union, which is a weird thing because it should just, there should be a clause that, like, I don't know. I'm grateful for it because I'm like, oh, I wouldn't have had certain jobs if I wasn't able to do it. But I don't know. It's weird. Yeah. Unscripted stuff, I guess, is okay for now. I have no idea because, you know, if they shut down enough production, then it's just straight up like they're not going to have money to fund other stuff. Like, it's just going to all trickle into each other's stuff. I don't know. It's not good. It's not good. And people are like, how's LA? I'm like, it's a fucking ghost town. It's weird.
What do you think? Nothing's happening. Yeah, no, it is a ghost town. Are people leaving? Is there going to be a mass exodus out of LA or people sticking with it?
I don't know.
People are sticking with it. They always do.
I'll tell you what's thriving, though, because of all this nonsense. The podcast world. I think we're in a great place right now to be doing a podcast because, you know, half these writers and actors who are out of work are like, shit, what should we do? What could we do? Well, we could do a podcast, you know, like, that's going to happen. So I think there will be a mass exodus from acting and they're all going to come over to the podcast.
Which, if they haven't already, I could name a bajillion actors, celebrities that have started into the podcast world. And we're here with open arms. Welcome you in, you know?
Listen, it's a new chapter of Big Wigs. I want to say that. Speaking of this podcast, we are now working with the one and only Mike Coscarelli. Mike, are you on mic? Mike, are you on mic?
I'm here, Mike, ladies. What's going on?
He's here. Say hi to all the Big Wigs.
Hello, Big Wig fans and listeners. I'm really excited to be working with these fine ladies. I think we're going to do big things. And I do think you guys are right. I think that a million people in the industry that would have never done this before out of pure necessity are coming to the podcast world.
Yeah, they are.
There might be a Tom Cruise podcast in the next 6 months. Who knows?
Mission Impossible, the podcast.
That's how you know Hollywood's done. When Tom Cruise starts a podcast, that's going to be the
sign. He can't fall
out
of airplanes anymore. He's got to be on a microphone. He's like, this is so less stimulating. Thanks.
Oh God, imagine how much that would hurt that man's soul to not hang on to the side of airplanes and have to interview somebody. Good God.
No, he's easily going to have to do like the longest running podcast of man known. It's going to be like, I've been podcasting for 48,000 hours straight. He just has to be like the most extreme.
Or Hawaii retire and be like, me and my Scientology friends are going to go to Hawaii for a little while. And you guys enjoy your podcasts. You guys enjoy your little microphones.
He would.
Well, Mike, we're thrilled to work with you. We're so excited. You have so much experience and we're trying to grow the fuck out of this show. So let's do it. This 25, you know, like you said, Dre, in your 20s, you don't know what you're doing. You're young, 20s. You're, you know, whatever. And now we're 25 and now it's time to get serious about our careers. So
This is it. Mike, give us a little snippet, a background of yourself, your elevator speech.
Yeah, be a bigwig. Give us the hits.
My God, hold on. This much talking. I should kill my AC. Give me 1 second.
No, you sound great.
He's like, no, because I'm going to have to edit this and I'm going to be like, why did you have your AC
No, you sound
on?
Great. I can't hear your AC at all.
Oh, I know. But this is the thing. So this is part of my, you know, my professionality. I don't even know if that's a word. Professionalism. But
yes,
that's the word.
It's funny because you guys were actually talking about radio, and Andrea was talking about kind of like waking up early, doing the news. Mm-hmm. Like that was kind of how I started too. So that kind of warmed my heart because that made me very nostalgic hearing about all that.
Yeah,
like going out all night in New York City, coming in and doing like a 4:30 in the morning shift with like So back then I was working with Imus, who is now dead, but he was like a very famous, you know, kind of semi-racist morning jock, I guess. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of like how I got my start. I started in talk radio in New York City, and then I was also doing stand-up. And then the two worlds sort of converged. From there, I started working on a show that I still work for called Guys We Fucked, which is, you know, obviously pretty big in the space.
Oh, yes. We love Christina and Corinne. They got to come on the show sometime.
100%. So that's been super fun for, I think I've been working with them for about 6 years now, maybe 7.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's been great. And then for a while I was running the Betches podcast network. I was kind of the first one in on their network. Whether or not they will ever give me credit for that, we'll see, but
good luck.
That was kind of like made my bones as like a podcast like producer in a bigger way there, just because there was a lot going on, there was not a lot of help, and we made some shows that are pretty, you know, to this day I think still pretty well listened to. And
nice.
Now I'm just working with, I take on individual clients. I work with iHeartMedia. They're kind of a big client of mine. And then I'm working with shows like yours. And obviously you guys are, you know, quickly becoming the apple of my eye. I'm super excited that we, Anna's face.
I feel like you're my new parent. I feel like I just got adopted and I'm like, wow, the lunches are better at school.
We did nothing. We're like, what did we do? What did we do to deserve this?
Well, because for the listeners, you guys came to my studio a couple weeks ago and we did an episode of the show there when you guys were like together, both in town. And I just had a lot of fun even just watching you guys. Obviously, Andrea knows that the Jennifer Coolidge impression is really among my favorite. I was laughing my ass off before she even got
the impression out of her mouth. I was like, is he for real? The fuck? I was like, nobody laughs this hard.
Because I know she's having kind of like a moment right now, and rightfully so, but I hadn't heard anybody do a Jennifer Coolidge impression, and you just nailed it.
Really?
Yeah.
Everybody does Jennifer.
That's so funny. I didn't know. Because I'm in like boy world, you know? Like,
you're right. The best. Yeah.
You're right. Yeah.
She's the best at it. So, you know, you got the right one, you know?
Right. So for me, I just liked watching you guys do your thing. I thought it was super fun. And I know you guys also have all this experience. Like, you're from the Taylor world, and it's so much more fun to work with people that have kind of a background in broadcasting in some capacity, because they just kind of, it's just easier to get. As opposed to when you work with somebody who just is kind of like with iHeart, as much as I love working with them as a company, and I've worked on some cool projects, there's been a handful of talent that I had to work with that just kind of didn't really know how to do this. And then all of a sudden you're in this world where you're kind of teaching somebody on the fly how to do a podcast and how to interview somebody or whatever, and how to be entertaining. That's the hard thing.
Yeah.
Really, most of the time it's like people kind of have that or they don't, and you can't really just teach somebody like, this is how you captivate an audience, you know? So I feel like we're like so far ahead of the game having two people that are just like so talented, and both you guys, so I'm excited to get to work.
Thank you. We're
making my week. I needed that. Thank you, Mike. I know. That's so sweet.
Very big wig intro. Now, Mike, tell me, what is your nationality?
I'm Italian and Jewish, but mostly Italian.
Yes. Oh my God. Okay. That's all I needed to hear. Mike, yeah. I'm obsessed with Italians. I'm not Italian, but I am Italian by association. And I love my Jews. So we got Anna with the Jews. We got our Italian.
Yep.
I'm of Mexican descent, but I say that I'm honorary Italian. So we got a good mix here.
She can 100%. Be an honorary Italian Jew.
I don't see how you shouldn't be considered that. I mean, you know, as one big family, this is mm-hmm. this is a very ethnic podcast. And I mean,
it is
my favorite type.
We're going to have your bat mitzvah by episode 100.
Yeah. Get ready. Seriously. I'll theme baptize party, you honey. Guys. And then you have. But yeah, the bat mitzvah is always way more fun. I mean, we get to have like merch. You guys had you were the first creators of like the merch for any party.
We yes. were. Yeah. Yeah. That is so true. Yeah. I gave away towels.
Towels?
That's genius.
Yeah. Well, everybody that's Anna's Paradise towel. Island, honey. If you're going to the beach, you need to take home a towel. Okay. You need to bring your towel.
It was themed. Okay. Why wouldn't it be themed? My, the lot, by Mrs. I went to was always like a t-shirt or a mug.
Yeah. And you always get the socks that said, I danced my feet off at Andrea's bat mitzvah.
I'm dead.
Oh, wait, Mike, did you have a bar mitzvah?
No, I was raised Catholic, but I have. So my mom's side of the family, that's where the Jews are.
Got it.
We were Jewish in the way where it was certainly around culturally. My grandparents are everybody's like originally from Brooklyn, so it's at certain points it all kind of runs together. You know, there's mm-hmm. there's a type of person from an era yeah. of New York where you can't really tell if they're like Italian, Irish, Jewish, Puerto Rican. They just so are like from Brooklyn. You know,
mm-hmm. so my background is Brooklyn.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, like I definitely went to a lot of I went to a good amount of bar mitzvahs when I was a kid. And my grandma, every now and then, like we would go like 8 years in between celebrating any of the Jewish holidays. So like, I remember doing like a Seder when I was like a kid, and then we kind of mm-hmm. do it. And then we're just kind of like, this sucks, doesn't it? So then we just like stop doing it. And then 10 years later, my grandma will be like, hey, I kind of, you know, I really want to do another Seder. I think it'd be fun.
It's time.
And then, yeah. And then you just get over there again. And you're just like, all right, I remember why we're not really doing this much. There's not a ton of food. There's not like, because they're so different. You know, those Italian holidays and the Catholic holidays and the Jewish holidays are like, you know, Anna, I don't back me up on this or maybe don't. A lot of the Jewish holidays are really depressing.
Some are sad. Yeah, I mean, most I'd say have a sad, you know, origin story.
Right.
But I think some like I like Passover. It's not a happy story, but I like right. the holiday. Like I enjoy right. the Seder. I like I like the foods, you know.
Yes.
I like doing matzah for a week. We yeah. did a whole Seder / Easter episode of this when Dre was doing Easter, because Andrea is very religious and I was doing Seder, and it was very funny.
So what is a Mexican Easter look like? Because for Italians, Easter is the day. Like Easter is the holiday where we just stuff ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, what's your mom's background? Your mom? My mom is American. She's got a little Dominican in her, but that's why she gets like super tan and looks kind of Spanish. But she's mostly American, but she's raised Catholic. So both sides were Catholic. Easter, Mexican Easter, we do the church, then we do a big dinner, but really our celebration, I would say, is Christmas mainly.
Yeah.
We do like way more things than like, yeah, a lot of more foods are surrounded around like Easter, probably. Yeah. Thanksgiving, Day of the Dead, Halloween, we do some stuff for that.
So there you go. That's where the differences come in. Because mm-hmm. I feel like most Catholics have versions of those holidays that are like similar enough where it is just like, again, for Italians, it's just like stuff as much food into your face as you can.
like, yeah.
And my mom would always threaten me because obviously like I'm as a single person, these conversations come up with my mom every now and then about like,
yeah,
what's the deal, you know? And when sure. I was a kid, my
what are you doing?
Yeah, right. Like why haven't we heard about any girls in 3 years, you know? So my mom used to tell us, me and my sisters when I was growing up, that like, because she wanted us to obviously try to marry like an Italian girl. So my mom would always say,
of course,
obviously, yeah. My mom would always say like, yeah, you know, during Christmas, she'd be feeding us and she'd be like, you like this stuff for Christmas and Easter? You like when we make the eggplant and you like when we make like the raviolis and stuff. And we'd all say, yeah, of course, this is great. She's like, if you marry an Irish girl, you're going to have ham on Christmas.
You won't have any of this shit. Yeah. So choose right.
Dangle it in front of us that, like, if you want these traditions to keep going. Because as a kid, I didn't realize that we didn't do, that not everybody did this for the holidays. Yeah. We just figured everybody ate ravioli on Christmas and stuff. And then you get to school and people are like, yeah. So
I'll say, as a girl who grew up conservative Jewish, we were very aware of what was happening on Christmas that we were not a part of.
So what would you have taken from Christmas if you could have? If you could take one thing.
If I could do one thing?
If you could do one thing and not feel like guilt about it, because we all know where the guilt lies. But
oh, yeah, I would never have a tree. I learned that about me. I think I do, like, we've done the seven fishes the night before. Isn't that nice. Funny? My mom, like, gets in theme and she's like, let's do seven fishes on Christmas Eve. And we're like, okay, from your conservative Jewish family.
That rocks.
Because we like seafood. I don't know. Why not?
Yeah.
It would be, okay, so adopting the food, certain food traditions.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Def. Def that.
I'd say not really worth adopting any of the Jewish tradition foods, you know, traditions. I don't know.
What? Although I love matzo ball soup.
And my mom, my mom and my grandma definitely used to make latkes. They'd have like a night where they would like make latkes for the season when I was a kid.
I forgot about those. Yeah.
That shit.
Those you
great.
Can take. Yeah. Yeah, those are good. No, everyone loves a fried potato. No,
yeah, love it.
No one's going to refuse a fried potato. Yeah. Absolutely.
Definitely
well,
not.
We don't want this to be awkward when we put in a little baby ad in here. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. And we're back. How cute is that? There is one comment on our podcast. You guys better put some more comments on there that says, hey, what's with the random ads coming in between your sentences?
And they're like, Spanish sometimes.
Yeah, I was like, Ilaria, she broke into the computer and she was just like, oopsie. I'm so sorry. Oopsie daisy. Yeah, my kids. they hit the button. I don't know.
We program the ads, but for some reason, sometimes there's like some issues with like when it actually goes in. So we're leaving a clean break and that's working.
Yeah. And I just want you guys to know these ads are making us a ton of money right now. We made $11.14 last month. So
we are rolling in the dough.
My latte here costs more than that.
If you're going to Erewhon. But yeah,
I didn't go to Erewhon. Anyway, catch me up on something. We've both had weird weeks. I had a weird week. You're still setting up your apartment. I had a sad week. I don't want to get too into it. If you guys follow me on Instagram, you all know that my beloved Joey, he's my parents' dog, but I'm with him all the time. He's like a part of the family.
I know.
Got really sick 3 days ago and was put to sleep yesterday. And it's just crushing my whole family. So it's sad.
We're all thinking about you. What's so sad is just how quick it happened, because it was 1 second to 1 second and your parents had to make a snap decision. And that's the hardest decision to make.
And they were away. They wouldn't have gone away had they known he was sick. They were away. They had to fly back. They had flights canceled. It was a fucking nightmare the last few days. And like Jared and I literally just keep crying. We just keep looking at each other and like crying. And we're like, oh my God, Joey's not here anymore. It's so sad. He was young. He was really, he just turned six last month. I know.
And
he had so much energy.
What kind of doggy he was.
He's a beautiful red labradoodle. I just put up a whole 10 photo, you know, carousel of it on my Instagram. And I asked my mom, I was like, do you mind if I post? Like, cause they were really like, it was a really, really hard day yesterday. And I said, do you mind if I post? And she was like, if you want, like she didn't care. My mom doesn't really care about Instagram.
Yeah.
And I almost think it was good. I did. It was cathartic for me, you know, going through all my old photos and videos. It's like almost like I always do that when someone passes away. I'm like, oh my God, I have to look at like everything I've ever done with this person or whatever. And so I did make a post and both my parents texted me, thank you for your really nice post. So I think they liked it. I think they liked seeing that. You know, it was like, because I memorialized him in a nice way. You know, he really.
You have to.
It's so sad. I'm not going to cry. I can't cry right now. I'm like, okay, right now. But yeah, I woke up at like 4 a.m. and you're just like thinking about it. You're like, oh, shit, go to sleep.
Let me forget about it. It's so true.
The loss of a pet.
memorializing them. Yeah. I made a collection video from like start to finish, like getting the dog as a puppy. And then you show their life and like how much they meant to you and all they went through and like building that story. I think just as a creator or somebody who's like, you just have to make something like that because it really does help us.
Yeah.
I don't know if it helps other people, but I think it's always good to make a video or a collaboration or like a collage of the pictures because you remember all the good times, you know? It's like a whole storyline of their life.
Yeah. And we've had dogs pass before, like, you know, the dogs we had growing up and stuff. But like Joey was young. This was out of the blue. You know, it's one thing. It's never easy. I'm not saying, oh, it's easier when your dog is old or your cat is old. Absolutely not. You live with this a family member. But
yeah,
you can at least kind of be like, they had such a fulfilling life, a full life. Like this was a life cut short and it's just crushing my parents. So anyway, if you're listening and you know the Roycemans, send them some love because they need it right now.
I know. I should DM your mom. I don't have her number, but it's always hard when somebody passes. You have to kind of like send the text. It's like, don't feel like you need to answer. I'm just sending love.
Yeah.
It's always like with that text. But
I know there were so many comments on my post and I was like, I'm just going to heart them. I don't feel like writing back to all these, even though some were so sweet, you know, and I appreciate it. And maybe I'll make a story. Thank you for your sweet messages. Anyway, back to my normal content now.
Which like literally after you posted Joey, you posted your ass. And I was like, okay, we're back. And we're back to the ass. Because
I was like, Anna, you're getting too sad. This is too sad now. Change the beat.
Isn't it a thing where you're like, you feel so not guilty because you're like, I obviously needed that. I needed to post about it because like that's what we do. But when you have not been posting your normal stuff, you have to make an announcement like, and we're back to this stuff. And then you got to post like a crazy something insane to bring you back.
Yeah. Because what's sad, I think there's a glitch on Instagram or something. But what's sad is I did post Joey and lose about 100 followers. So
you know what? Anything personal I'm finding, unless you're like a full time content creator, lifestyle creator, where everybody knows every little hair that's on your head. They don't like the personal shit. They just want the content videos.
I don't know. Mean.
I don't know.
Mean. Care about me? I'm not just a wig. I'm a person. Okay.
I have feelings. Well, you know you don't even want those followers anyways. It's fine.
I did post a Kris Jenner video yesterday morning though. And I knew about Joey and everything, but I was like, I still wanted to post my normal shit. I didn't want to make the whole day sad, you know?
I was like, Anna just can't live with it. Also she's gotta still be consistent.
He was still alive. So I wasn't gonna post about him until it happened and it was like confirmed, you know. So it was I don't know. It's sad. I almost flew home. I literally was like, you panic and you're like, should I fly home? Should I look at like this? And I'm going back in like 2.5 weeks. I'm like, it's fine. Anyway, thank you for letting me vent to you.
You have to.
Thank you. Everybody send
loving messages to Anna because it's just to hear everybody else's stories too. When I lost my dog Coco, everybody was sending me stories of how their elderly dog passed and what they went through. It's good to have that community because you feel as though you're not alone.
And I like the Rainbow Bridge story. You know, I like thinking he's in a place. He's swimming all summer. You know, he's watching TV. He really loves TV. It's weird. I've never seen a dog watch so much TV. Like bark at the TV anytime an animal is on. Could be a horse. Could be a kitten. Doesn't matter.
He feels the animal connection. I've always wondered about that. Like, can they see animals?
He can. And Jared has so many videos of it. I'm like, Jared needs to make a post of all the... Jared? He has so many good videos
Jared is more in your family than you are. I'm sorry to say. But like, I think he shed more tears than you have. Maybe you have your mom in you where it's like you don't need to show the tears because you feel it internally. But I feel like Jared is just so he feels more.
Oh, he feels. I've cried a lot. I cry a lot, actually, more than my mom. I'm more like my grandmother. I cry when like, you know, at anything. And Jared doesn't cry all that much, but he really loved Joey. So this has been a really sad week for Jared. And to the point where last night he starts crying again and I looked at me and said, we have to be stronger. I can't look at you.
Stop.
Stop crying. Be a strong person now. I was like, no more tears to cry. It hits you in different waves, you know, like with any kind of grief.
Totally.
You're just like, oh my God, like it's going to be sad to go home and like he's not there. And like my poor father, it's his best friend in the whole fucking world. Wait, literally, this is like kind of funny, and but it's also so sad. But yesterday, my mom, she had to work in the morning before they had to take him in. So my mom's at work and my dad, dad's going to take him to his favorite places. You know, he's going to go to the hardware store where they have really good treats. And then he's going to go to the clothing store across the street because the owner of it, she really likes it. And I was like, and what's he going to say to them? Oh, by the way, he's going to die at 4 p.m. Like, how do you take him around town and then let these people like, no, it's so weird. And I can't.
Yeah,
sometimes I would just so sad and weird that it becomes funny. I'm like, well, what is he going to get a treat? And dad's going to be like, this is the last time you'll see him. He's going to go. We're killing him at 4 p.m. I'm like, that's awful.
This is his last meal. This is what he wanted. No, I would totally pass over that. That would be the total Debbie Downer thing to do. Like, oof. By the way, he's kicking the bucket at 4. Like, you
it's
can't.
So sad.
No, but I'm so happy but they I did gave laugh him the a little when I was of his dreams.
Yeah, I did laugh a little when I was like, his goodbye tour? Like, this is terrible.
Anyway.
Anyway, it's sad. But you had an interesting thing happen this week. And I said we should totally talk about this on the podcast because it's something I think everyone here can relate to.
I brought it up to you briefly, but it didn't bother me. It was just kind of a what the fuck moment. I was like, am I crazy or are you crazy? So moved to, by the way, I live in New York, people. I'm getting DMs as I've been moving and I've been transitioning and showing. I don't even know why I'm showing shelves that I buy, but I'm like, if you're trying to save space, these are the shelves you need.
Okay, but also, can we just be honest right now? She's fully in a Hilton hotel room. Like, if you're watching this, your backdrop is like, how's the Hyatt today, huh? Do they have good room service for you?
The Hyatt just got a redo. They did amazing of this, like, striped, nice,
it's beautiful.
What would you call it? Kind of like a spa vibe. It's very neutral. I love the paneling up top. They've got the squares. I don't know the actual name for that. Is that like the French
gorgeous
chateau?
Yeah. It would never know you were in Brooklyn. Honestly,
you would
really
absolutely have no idea.
Yeah. Okay.
Here's the
back
thing.
To
in my studio, I would shoot and I liked my background because I actually had pictures behind my desk and it looked aesthetic. But then in this room, it's just, you know, it looks cluttered. I don't want it to look so tchotchke clunky. You know what I'm saying? So then I just put this background and let me tell you, it looks like I don't even have a blank wall in this apartment because it's so small. I have shelves on every inch corner of the wall.
Okay, so she's loving it. We love this apartment. she's really thriving right now.
I will say it's not permanent. It's where we live now, but nothing's permanent. It's a great space, but it's too clunky. So I put up a green screen and now I'm in the Hilton / Hyatt / Marriott. It is what it is.
Okay, so back to your story.
So back to the story. I went to go see one of my friends, my close high school friend. She moved to New York and I'm so excited because now I have people where I'm like, yo, I'm going to come see you. She just moved into her new apartment. It's in Lower Manhattan, right underneath the Manhattan Bridge. So like the train, you can hear literally she's like underneath the train. And
that's loud.
It's a little tough for sound. I walk in there. I'm like, Jesus, this whole place is shaking when the train goes over. But
now,
I'm so excited.
Early 20s, because that was me. I was like, I can handle a 6-floor walk up. Fuck that. I'm strong and young. And then you think back and you're like, I would never.
Never. Well, the funny thing is, a lot of people, when we move, I didn't see my first apartment. I didn't even tour it. I just trusted the girl that I was living with. And I was like, you got it. I ended up living in a 2x2 room, no closet. It was a cell. No. The same, I think neither of them toured it. And they moved from DC. So it's the two of them. And they're like, yeah, it's freaking loud. We use earplugs. We didn't know it was going to be super loud. I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Cause they're like directly underneath the train.
Oof.
So as a friend does, you bring anybody, if you move into someplace, you bring some stuff. You know, I brought flowers and then I was thinking of bringing wine, but I was like, you know what? It's during the week. Let me just bring the makings of like a yummy little appetizer. So I decided on a caprese salad. So I got basil, mozzarella, and some like nice ass tomatoes, like the different colors, like yellow, green, red, whatever they're called. What are they called? They're like a special name for these tomatoes.
Heirloom, honey. Heirloom tomatoes.
Are they heirloom, but even with the different colors?
It's heirloom tomato season right now. So I'm going to guess that's what you got.
And
as
I know
a person
seasons,
who worked
I love
in
it.
Fine dining, you know, it's heirloom tomato season right now. Strawberry season. Stone fruit season.
Stone fruit. I recently picked up some cherry plums. Phenomenal.
Plums, peaches, phenomenal. Nectarines, cherries, you know.
Phenomenal.
Tis the season. Okay. So you bring over tomato mozzarella caprese salad. That's yeah. Beautiful. That's nice.
Yeah. I'm thinking, okay, she's going to put the flowers in a little pot. I walk in there. And I'm like, so good to see you. We haven't seen each other in a while. We've texted, but I haven't seen her in a while. So I gave her a big hug. And I was like, I brought over some treats. She was like, oh my God, I love the flowers. You don't have to do that. I don't even have a vase. So she just like sets them on the table. I was like, oh, hey, you can just use a cup, but sure, put the flowers on the table. Don't put them in water.
Let me just watch them die in front of me.
Right. I was like, they've already been in the train. I mean, come on, you got to put them in water. They're dying. So then I take out the stuff and I'm like, oh, I just brought stuff for some caprese salad, like whatever, thinking she's immediately going to take out a board, start cutting up the mozzarella, start serving it real nice, do a little balsamic glaze. She's like, oh my God, I just ate. But if you're hungry, like feel free to have some basil, like whatever you want. I was like, oh yeah, no, it's fine. It's
and
fine.
Now me it's thinking, awkward.
Now, well, now I'm awkward. Like, it's totally fine. I'll put it in the fridge and in an hour we can revisit this.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're sitting on the couch. An hour goes by. We're catching up. We have so much to catch up on. And she had a rough week. We had somebody pass in our high school, like big, humongous, like group of people. It was like a mutual friend. So we were just talking about that. And no water was offered. Not even tap. I mean, nothing. And we're to the point we're so close that like, I don't expect that. But it's just
no.
What
you should
you
expect
do.
That. You're adults, yeah. Yeah, you can say like, I expect.
I'm
that.
I'm in your like, new apartment. The only thing I love, you and I love nothing more than having somebody in our apartment and just like just doing the most as the host.
Yeah, right. Although I was bad to you as a host recently, which I'll talk about afterwards.
No. Yes, I was sleeping
no. I love
over
if
in
I'm
your
inviting
extra
someone
bedroom?
Over. If I'm inviting someone over, absolutely. I want to have some appetizers out. I want to have, you know, some wine, whatever. Yeah, yeah. I agree with you.
Completely.
We were raised to entertain. Right.
Exactly. So I was just a little turned off that I was like, not even water, but I did have a bottle. So I got my bottle out, started drinking it. I'm fine. I'm self-sufficient. And we're just still talking. And I was like, okay, I'm looking at my clock. It's gone on 2.5 hours. She's like, oh, you know what? You can take out a cutting board and just like make some caprese if you want it. Because I'm like full. I've eaten already. I was like, no, I'm not going to eat the caprese by myself. I brought it for us to share. And then she like looks at the nice tomatoes. She's like, oh my God, you're giving me all these tomatoes? I was like, yeah, so cut them up. What the hell is going on?
I would have taken them. If she was that like rude about it, I'd have been like, well, if you're not hungry, I'm going to bring this and eat it at home. I'm not making a salad here for myself.
Well, I was like, what? In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, we're close enough. I could totally go into her kitchen, take out my own knife, look around because I don't even know where anything is and start like making my own caprese. But I would never do that if she wasn't going to eat with me. I'm not just going to bring food to eat it for myself.
Yeah.
So I also had weird. Like, right, a bag of chips and I just like opened that and I was like, all right, I'll eat this. But I walked out of there and I was like, am I crazy? Or like, if you bring food to somebody's house and you go, I brought this and it's clearly, it's an easy 1, 2, 3 steps, right? Wouldn't you just make it and just save it in a container if there's leftovers? You don't just like wait to eat it without the person, right?
Yeah. That's weird. Yes. It was almost like, you know, rude, borderline rude, what? I'd say.
Like, I was very confused.
It's not the right etiquette.
It's not. I would never bring a caprese to you. I would get some vegan mozz cheese. Like, I know. I would bring something else to you. You know what I mean? No, I would bring something like that we wouldn't even need cheese for. But I knew that she likes, like, we've had caprese salad before. So it was like a thing. And I was really looking forward to those heirlooms and basil and mozz. And did I get any? No. Could I have asked for it? Yes. But I didn't want to be that person. So,
oh my God.
I enjoyed our conversation, but I was I left hungry. I'll say that.
Sometimes you realize when you go see friends from like growing up and stuff, like they haven't aged in a mature way like you. Yeah. And you're like, oh wait, you still live like a child. Like, I see that sometimes with people's apartments, even on Instagram. I'm like, how does this person live? Like, it's so messy, or like, you know, it's like, right. How many, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's funny to see like people's etiquette, you know, when you haven't seen them in a while, how do they live on their own? It's definitely a thing. But I do think if you are showing up to someone's, to see someone's new apartment and you bring something, you should be like, oh my God, let's make it. That's so nice of you. But if she doesn't cook and if she doesn't have any kind of like, you know, I don't know, skills, then maybe she was like, oh, I don't even have a knife.
Okay, yeah, that's true. If everything was still in boxes, I'm not expecting. I'm like, let's get out of here. Let's go eat. I toured your place. I saw what I needed to see. Let's go. But we sat there for like 3.5 hours.
Yeah, that's
too long. I'm chomping on some biscuit chips. I'm like, this is crazy. So anyway, if somebody comes over to your house, serve them up some stuff, okay?
I was going to tell you, this reminded me a couple weeks ago, maybe like a week, 2 weeks ago, I went to a friend's who had like a cute like hangout with some girls. And yeah. I'm not a girl. I'm not a girls night girl. Like I hang out with you. But like, you know, seven girls, like, I don't know. I just don't do that often.
And it's like, no.
No, it was nice and fine. I don't do that often. Whatever.
Yeah.
And everyone was bringing something and I was like, ooh, I'm going to make an artichoke dip. I have a really good artichoke dip recipe. I love it. I'll bring an artichoke dip. And she was like, oh, great. And it's, you know, you bake it in a dish like my my dip. So it's like a hot one. And I put it in a baking dish of mine. You know what I mean? I wasn't going to be like, do you have a dip? Like, I didn't want to risk it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what kind of dishes people have. So I was like, put it in a dish that you know you can bake and you'll take your dish home or you'll pick it up another day, whatever. And I bring it and I bake it at her place. And it's phenomenal. Okay. I'm sorry, but it's fucking.
You did a good job.
Bought veggies and store-bought ranch. Honey, I made an artichoke dip from scratch. Yeah. And at the end, you know, there was a lot left over or whatever. And I said, if you want, I can come and get my, if you're going to, you know, you finish it, I'll come get my dish another day. No problem.
Come get the dish. Class.
And thank you. And, but then she goes, oh, I won't eat it after today. I don't eat stuff like this after parties. And I was like, huh? And someone else goes, what do you eat? Celery? And she goes, yeah, I eat a lot of like vegetables and, you know, and fruit. And I don't eat chips like in an artichoke dip, like if, unless it's like a party. And when she said that, it was so like, I won't eat this. She goes, I mean, maybe my husband will, maybe. And I love this person. I'm not trying to like, you know, but it was such a weird reaction that I go, that's fine. I'll eat it. I'll just take my dish now. And I was like, so I wrapped up my dish in tin foil and put it in a bag because I was like, she's not going to eat it. Maybe her husband will eat it. Jared loves it. I love it. I fucking have other chips at home. I didn't take my bag of chips back or anything. You know, I was just like, okay, I'll just take whatever's left over in my dish because you're not going to touch it.
That's an interesting situation because she honestly, in the long run, she was saving you time to go back and pick it up. And she was just being brutally honest. Maybe her approach was a little abrasive, but she could have just been a little nicer about it. Like, I'm not going to eat this. But yeah, she was kind of saving you. She's like, no, you go enjoy it. I love this. But like, I would have made up a story. Like, I'm heading out of town. I got to remove everything from my fridge anyways. Some shit. Because I didn't want, I'm like overly worried that it's going to be rude. But
yeah, it was straight up like, I was like, it was daunting. And I was like, okay, well,
sure.
I'll eat this in about 4 or 5 hours, so I'll be hungry again. Maybe on my way back, you know, just stick my finger in that dip and just slurp it up. Inside. I don't know. Oh my god!
Yeah,
so
she didn't
funny.
Need to say it like that. Yeah. There's etiquette, okay? And I just think that some people don't know the universal etiquette. They must have missed the memo.
You guys realize as soon as I come back to New York and I go to Andrea's apartment, I'm bringing tomato mozzarella. I'm just going to bring a caprese. I'll be like, it's so weird. I just like happen to have this ball of mozzarella and heirloom tomatoes in my bag.
Now, there's so many other safe things to bring to a house, too. Like for us, I know I would bring those special macaron almonds, not macaron, the delicious like white almonds that are like flavored. They're seasoned.
Marcona.
Bitch knows. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I have a list of things for each person that I know is their fave in my head. Like I can't remember what day is certain things, but I remember what people like. I make mental notes.
She's good. She's got mental notes. We have a couple other topics that we wanted to get to.
Oh my God, we have so many.
Too many. And we only have a little time. Wait, first of all, congrats to Britney Spears. Her book is coming out. Huge announcement.
Long overdue. Long overdue.
I can't wait to read it. Although I was a little worried, her like press, you know, video. Did you see her when she talked? You did. We talked about this.
Oh yeah.
When she was like, I had a lot of therapy. Like she's staring into the camera.
Of therapy for this. I'm ready to release this book. And then grabs some sunglasses, gets into it.
And then Sam is in the background going, "It's too much. It's too much. It's enough." We're good. Cutting the camera now.
I love to see that Sam is somewhat nearby because I always think she's just posting. She's just putting her phone up and then recording herself dancing in all these different outfits. And Sam is nowhere to be found. But he was actually recording her for this video.
He's a good Instagram husband. Yeah, it's nice to see that. I'm glad. You know, we're all going to read that book.
Like, you know,
we're going to need like 3 episodes to cover the Britney book. I'm like,
No, absolutely. What we're going to hear in that is basically all of her trauma that she experienced. Like, she's doing a full tell-all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be good. No. Do you think she'll do like an Oprah interview? I'm like hoping there's like a book tour, you know, and she does some big fucking interview like that. Like, maybe Oprah's not the right one to interview her, but like someone juicy on TV, you know?
I'm a little concerned that she doesn't have the press team that she needs, considering that was her video for releasing the news of her book. So I don't know if there's very much of a strategy behind, but I hope for her sake there is, because she's been gypped, she's been used, and she needs a good team that believes in her and wants the best for her. So I can only hope that she's got a team that's ready to, that's booking her for all of these appearances, because it's got to be a select like two. She can't be doing all the press tours, because it's too much opportunity. There's certain people that really can't be doing too many interviews, and I'm thinking of a couple. I'm not going to say them, but
there's someone who has a book out who wants to come on our podcast, and I haven't booked her as a guest, but the Caroline Calloway has the book that she promised people in 2020 that never came out, called Scammer. So she leaned in hard to the scam of it all, but it's also like a tell all. And I want to read it. And I told her, I want to read your book. And then she was like, I want to come on the podcast. And I was like, oh my God, we'd love to have you. But can I just tell you, the only way to read her book, it's $65, which I've never paid for, even in college. I think like even like a textbook, $65 on her website. And I'm like, maybe she'll give us one, because I want to read it before
Kindle version. Yeah.
No, it's self-published. So, and
got it. Wow. And
there's art. It comes with a ribbon. You know, it's a whole to do. But I don't have $65 right now to spend on a book. And
that's tough. Yeah.
A little tough.
happy to have her on, though, present. But I do want to read the book before she comes on, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, if not, we'll just talk to her about like what life was like being a scammer, you know, and like she dug herself out of debt with OnlyFans, and like quite a crazy story, but whatever. What else do we have here? What else do we have here besides books?
Besides books, reality TV, we're talking Crappy Lake, because it just premiered. Anna and we've just
been texting back and forth about it.
That's it. You guys, Luann, no longer Countess, just Luann Desileps. What is her last name? I can never say it.
Beausoleil. I don't know.
Luann Desileps. There we go.
Let's just call her Luann.
Luann, Lou, and Sonia, they're heading over to Benton, Illinois, also known as Crappy Lake, because that's where it smells like crap. And they went there, and it's basically The Simple Life reimagined. We watched the first two episodes.
Yeah. If you loved The Simple Life, tune in, because they're not paying us to say this. It was a very funny show. And like these two women are so opposite, yet so down to clown. And they're
it's the best.
They so flew we private decided to go to this fucking place.
They flew private. Benton, Illinois put out a red carpet for them. It's such a small town. It's the perfect quintessential small town. And all the people there are just so cute and so quaint, and everything is so, so easy. And these women are like, okay, horny.
The best part is Benton, the town, was not told what celebrities were coming. They were just told Hollywood celebrities are showing up in our small town. And then they asked them, remember someone was like, Vin Diesel? Is it going to be Vin Diesel? And the other was like, Kim Kardashian.
They're like, it better be Kim Kardashian. We're like, oh boy, do we have some people coming for you guys. Vin Diesel, please. Please. Are they going to even know them?
No, most of them don't. As you can see, one guy, I'm sorry, we're going to talk a lot more about this. We're going to do a bonus episode of literally just Crappy Lake. But one guy, he's like, yeah. And he's like, Luann, is that her name? I don't watch their show.
Luann. Thought their name was Luann. They don't even know. I love hearing the men's responses, because the men are totally checked out. They don't watch Bravo. So they're just like, Luann and Sonja. It's tough. But yes, if you guys missed that, we're doing a full recap episode coming out. We'll say it's coming out Friday of episode one and two whenever we feel like it. But we're recording it right after this. So it'll
and
be
also
out.
We're
We've got
working on we're working on their impressions. You guys, I think as much as we love our Courtney and Chris, I think it's time to release a little new duo into the universe. And
it is.
These two are funny as fuck. And I don't know. We were laughing thinking about what we should do yesterday. So like, just brace yourselves, you know?
The content's coming. We've got content coming out. We've got something. But
we
yeah,
had a content
I'm
meeting. I made Dre have a we content. Did. I'm like, I we was need like, a content
Anna,
meeting. No, Anna, you loved
we-
it.
I did. We talked for over an
like,
hour.
Talk to me. My dog is dying right now. Please. Can I like, put right, on a wig?
I'm going to put back. On a wig. I'm going to be your Kris Jenner.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just also.
Yeah.
I was going to say also in the unscripted, in the reality world, the Kardashians of it all. I mean, are you caught up? You watched a little, right? She watched.
Yes, I watched the fight episode, but I got to the point where they were planning Kris's birthday, but didn't have Kris's birthday. But I saw the fight. It wasn't even a fight. You're right. It was a conversation between Courtney and Kim.
It was a mature fight. Yeah. No hair pulling. No, you know, beating each other up.
No.
It was just a lot of rich people problems.
Yes. But for let's set the record. Who do you side with?
It's tough because I want to say I get it. I get Courtney's, you know, side, but also I think I have to side with Kim because I don't think she was trying to take away from her wedding. I don't think she was trying to, you know, Kim's, you know, it's a fine line. I don't know. I don't know if I have a side. Who do you pick?
For this, I picked Courtney. I side with Courtney because Kim has so many opportunities. She already is number one. She is just so competitive. And I feel that it was a little distasteful. She could have done anything in the world, but she chose something so in line, so similar. And then even after they fought, she still sided with herself. She was like, and by the way, she stole my wedding country and my wedding singer. And it's like, you can't own a country. Okay. Also, everybody gets married in Italy. Also, Kim, you've been married 3-4 times. This is Courtney's only
also,
wedding.
Winner of this fight is Andrea Bocelli. I mean, everyone's fucking hired him now.
Oh my God. You know who got, he's got the same publicist as Che. He's popping off.
Popping off.
Mr. Andrea Bocelli.
Who was my wedding.
Also, Yeah. My wedding musician.
Who, since when is Kim's favorite male singer Andrea Bocelli? Did that not just like shock everyone? I was like, wait, what?
That was amazing. But then it gets even better because Kris and Kim are like back in Dolce & Gabbana world in Italy. And it's like, here we go.
What, are they posting things because it's relevant to the show? Or are they posting because they're actually back?
They're actually there. They were actually there this week. There was a Dolce & Gabbana show this week in Italy that also SAG-AFTRA president Fran Drescher showed up to. So
that's why she was there.
They were there. Yeah. And basically, I bet she wouldn't have been posted. I don't know that she was posting that I'm in Italy right now, but Kim posted a photo with Fran Drescher being like, my hero. I always watched you on The Nanny. I love you. I love your style growing up, blah, blah, blah. And there's a photo of them being like, we love each other. And the whole, you know, everybody in entertainment was like, what the fuck? Like, here we are out on the picket lines, holding up the signs. Fran, our Lord and Savior is out in a Dolce & Gabbana fashion show in Italy with Kim Kardashian. What is happening?
Oh my God. I'm totally going crazy, but I should have had my friend Lucho, you know, my old roommate in LA, Lucho.
Yeah.
Photographer. Lucho, he was just at a wedding in Italy and he sat next to Fran Drescher. He took a video of her. So we should get a little snippet of his thoughts. I just texted him and was like, how was Fran? And he was like, the best person I've ever met. And I was like, okay, give me more than that. That was it.
We love her. I'm going to do another her. Fran. We love her. And the negotiations for saying, I'm your president. I'm your SAG-AFTRA president. It's me, Fran Drescher.
Okay. do her with a green screen behind you with Italy behind her and be like, I'm getting to all of the negotiations right after this spritz.
That was the exact video. Hold on 1 second. Kim Kardashian, I'm a huge fan of yours.
I'm already dying at it. Do it.
Kim Kardashian, I love your work, Kim. You're so beautiful in person.
It's a combo of Steve.
And I gotta just listen to her one more time and then I'll be good. Kim Kardashian. Oh, her voice has gotten lower though over the
years.
She's not high like the nanny. No, she's down.
Yeah, she's not. Though. She is. It's got a little deeper.
And as the Long Island, you know, where you have like, it's like a phlegm that just stays in the back of your throat. Here we are at the SAG negotiations.
All the words blend into each other. SAG negotiations.
Chris Jenner. Hi, Chris Jenner. I love your dress, and Chris Jenner.
Her neck goes down like this because this is how they make their voice sound. They're like, I'm so feeble. I've got nothing left in me.
Oh my God. We're going to go
over.
Everybody fight for the strike. Here goes nothing. We're going to fight for all your residuals.
Give it all you got.
It's going to be
Do you feel safe with Fran Drescher? Do you think she's really fighting for the fight? Is she or whose side is she on? Because I want to believe she's good.
Like, wants bad things for actors, but I also think there's a certain level that you get to where it's like, this doesn't really matter to you. You know what I mean?
Right.
But hopefully, I don't know. People don't like her as the president, but she ran. No one ran against her, so she's the president again.
So it was a unanimous vote for Fran.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's funny because I feel like. I think of her as the nanny. I don't think of her as in charge of a union. I have no idea. I don't, you know, the fact that she was in Italy is a little sus. We're like, wait, what?
What?
But
yeah.
So who knows?
A little
who
concerns.
Who knows? Yeah.
We're approaching the end of the ep, but we did have a couple things left. So if you wanted to like hit one of those things, I'm down.
Go for it. Pick it. You go for it. Not pick it like strike pick it, but
pick it like, pick
I'm
the
gonna post
topic.
We have a strike. We have a little tidbit Chris and Court strike moment, and I think we should post it today in support of SAG-AFTRA because Kim is now in SAG-AFTRA.
Kim is in SAG. You would have thought that one of her other campaigns, many eons ago, would have made her an adequate candidate for SAG.
I would think they've all been in SAG. Who knows? But because they've been on like SNL, they've been on TV shows and stuff. But
yeah.
TB, I don't know, but you know, she also was the one who was like, and we're filming American Horror Story. And everyone was like, what the fuck? They're filming something? We're striking. So Kim has kind of like brought up red flags for Hollywood.
Yeah,
lately.
What the fuck? Can't be filming right now.
No, they have been filming. That was a known thing. The Ryan Murphy projects were filming.
We're already filming because it was written before.
I guess. You know.
Tell anyway. Me, you were at Hillstone, which we love Hillstone, the Big Wigs podcast. We love Hillstone.
We got to do a Big Wig Bites.
We're taking those Big Wig Bites.
Love it. Oh, my God. You know, I had a show in Santa Monica, and it's a drive. It's a drive down there. And I thought it was a late show. And I said, Jared, let's go get dinner in Santa Monica. And he was like, where do you want to go? We were going to go to sushi. We were going to maybe go to get Italian. And I was like, we could go to Hillstone and have it all, honey. You can have it all when you go to Hillstone. You could have a burger. You could have sushi. You could have pasta. You could have everything you want at Hillstone. And that's my Big Wig Bite of the week. We had an amazing meal. Like
top to bottom.
I leave and I think about it afterwards. We did the sushi, it's like the sandwich. Fuck, I forget the name right now, but you know what I'm talking about. It's like almost like a layered sushi.
Yes,
where it's like the spicy tuna and then the avocado and there's a little crab and there's like, you know, scallion. Mm. And it's layered like a beautiful tiered cake. Mm-hmm. And it's so delicious. It's just like the best bite when you go to Hillstone. I'll post a photo of it because I took obviously I took photos of this time to remember this meal. But yeah, when you go to Hillstone, get that layered sushi. I think there's a name for it. It starts with an O, but we have
Omasaki, omakase.
No. Keep going on the all the O words. Wait, and then we shared the grilled artichokes, which you gotta. If they're in season, you gotta get a grilled artichoke. I'm sorry. I don't care what restaurant you're at, but get it at Hillstone. And dipped in like it's almost like a French onion kind of dip that you dip it in, you know? Ugh. Yep. Love a grilled artichoke. And then we shared the a kale salad. We balled out. And
you have to.
I needed some greens, you know? I needed my greens. And then we got the fried chicken sandwich, which was almost like a chicken cutlet. It wasn't like a fried chicken piece that you would expect on a sandwich. It was like a cutlet piece, and it was so fucking good.
See, I appreciate that because it's more manageable. When it's like the huge chicken, too much chicken, not enough bread. When it's a cutlet, that's a perfect ratio.
Yeah. It was so good. I'm still thinking about it. I was like, I can't. And Jared was like, I've never been to Hillstone. I'm like, in New York, anywhere? Like, there's Hillstones all over the place.
He was like,
no. And so I was so excited, you know, when you bring someone to like a restaurant you love and you're kind of worried because you're like, I've topped it up a lot in the car. I'm like, is he going to love it as much? But I think he did.
Absolutely.
I was like 2 days later, I'm like, I'm still thinking about it.
I want to go tonight. I think I will. I think I am.
What? Wow. Okay. Influencer Anna. Listen to that.
When you come, that's where we're going. But I didn't know how many locations are in LA of Hillstone. Cause I know there's a couple in New York and then one closed down, right?
Beverly Hills. There's Santa Monica. There might be one in Pasadena. There's a couple. There's quite a few.
Good to know.
Quite a few. Yeah. And it's, if you haven't gone, I mean, like, I hope they sponsor this podcast. It's legit love. I love it. Don't order an espresso martini, though. We have learned they do not have an espresso martini. On either coast, honey. Either coast. Because Jared ordered one. And then, like, there was another table that was like, we tried to order one, too. And they said no. And then they heard us talking about New York. And the server was like, the people behind you want to know, do they have it in New York? And I was like, nope, they do not. Because I had a friend who ordered it. It was not.
And they didn't have it. Shout out Hannah Berner. All she wanted was an espresso martini. And they didn't have it. Because they're like, it's too messy with the espresso makers. I'm like, it really isn't. But I can, and they were like, what else can we get you? Extra. And I think
Hannah was like, a water. I was like, God.
if it ain't an espresso martini, we don't want it.
Yeah. Okay, wait. Tell me, what's your big wig bite of the week?
We're calling this a big wig mini bite because it's really not a substantial meal. But I was at Wawa because we love Wawa. I found we were driving and they had Skittles with the smoothie flavor. It's almost like the Starbursts only pink. But this is Skittles smoothies. And it was just like a lighter sweetness. I don't know. Like all of them were just delicious. And I was just really, really enjoying it. And I know you're a Skittle fan. So I wanted to bring it up to see if anybody had ever tried the Skittles smoothie flavor.
What are the flavors? Can you give me a flavor? Can I just wrap my head around what the smoothie was? Is it like
it was like strawberry banana smoothie? Yes. Yeah. But they all are pink flavored. So it's like a strawberry banana. There was like a cherry, one that tastes like a cherry, a raspberry smoothie. So they all had like kind of like fruity berry flavors to them.
I love
but
that.
But it was delish.
It's like Erewhon in a bite, honey.
Yeah, but cheaper. Exactly.
I laugh like Chris in my daily life now. It's just something I have to accept. And that's what's you have happened. To.
Thank you. Luann does have something similar. She has like that deep kind of like, it's a similar laugh, right?
I know. Yeah. I got to differentiate the two. I'll do it.
Yeah, exactly. We gotta head out because we're gonna go work on our Luann and Sonia, and we're recording a separate episode, which will be out on. You can access it right where you find your Big Wigs podcasts. But
yeah, a little recap episode.
Recap episode. So if you haven't watched it, don't listen because there's gonna be spoilers. But start watching so you can listen.
Yeah, and follow us on YouTube. Go watch that prank call if you haven't watched it yet. Okay, we literally called the Four Seasons in Philadelphia in Mike's studio. And everybody, put some comments on our podcast. You know, welcome Mike to the family. We're so excited to work with him.
Yes, and
make sure you follow us on Instagram. Okay, go find us there and stay tuned for some more Chris and Court. You know, they're always coming back at you. They're coming at you, and we'll see you next time. Love you.
See ya. Laters, be a big wig.